Thank you, Lord. Amen.
All the building of the body.
Right.
And the priesthood doth defend.
Amen.
Ever praying in the Spirit.
Yes.
I this office would attend.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus. Okay, we are still on the same outline that we started last week in this session. And that is from the most recent training. The outline is entitled, Moses Desiring That All Jehovah's People Would Be Prophets. So this is the second session on this matter of a life of prophesying. And last week we covered Romans 1 in the outline. And today what we're intending to do is to try to cover Romans 2 and maybe 3 just quickly. I'd like to spend about maybe 20 minutes or so on the outline and on some burden. And then your assignment from your homework is due. You all have to give a prophecy of what you've enjoyed this week and prepared for this class. And then Brother Peter and Brother Timothy are going to give you some constructive criticism on your prophesying. Yeah, so that'll really be helpful. We'll all learn to prophesy. Okay, so we'll spend the last part on our practice. And then we will continue. Of course, this week we gave you to use week 24, which is very, very timely, right, on the spiritual warfare. And actually, this is the reason I call this hymn. I, 2 years ago, finished the 12th CD of the Hymns of Life and Truth series for Living Stream, producing that CD, and it is titled All the Building of the Body. And the burden of that CD came from the Lord to related to the spiritual warfare. So I wanted to title it Fight the Battle in the Body. Actually, I wanted to title it Conflict Today is Fierce. But the brothers at Living Stream thought, you can't title it like that. It sounds terrible. Conflict Today is Fierce. So we settled on All the Building of the Body, because we are fighting with a sword in one hand and we're building with a trowel in the other hand. So the spiritual warfare is going on while we are building the body. So that CD has hymns on all of that. And if you'd like a copy, you can buy it from Living Stream. Anyway, it's a very good group of hymns on the building and on the spiritual warfare. And then in what you're going to prophesy from week 24 this week is related to the spiritual warfare, which I felt is very, very applicable, even to this burden of dealing with our hearts. This is a warfare, as our brother mentioned at the end of his sharing this morning. It's a real warfare, and in Numbers we're talking about this. So there is the outward enemies, but there are also the inward frustrations that need to be dealt with, and all of it is related to warfare. And in this week, I'll give you my little piece of prophecy, so a little foretaste. I enjoy this point that this warfare is not individual, it is corporate.
Right.
That really helped me. And then I think it's in today's portion that we read, might have been this, that our fighting is by praying. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. So our fighting is by praying. And one of the biggest frustrations, I think it mentions there, is rumors. Right? Brother Nee suffered very much from rumors. That wasn't what was really going on. It's just rumors. And that's the attack the enemy would use among the saints, spreading rumors about people and so forth. And that cannot be fought. You can't just sit down and say, oh, Brother Michael, we can't say, don't say that, don't spread that rumor. You know, it's already spread. Once it's out, it's already gone. You can't fight it with that. You have to fight it by the prayers. Lord, cover the saints from these rumors. We have to fight by praying. So we're coming to Romans 2 on the outline. You should have a copy of that outline. And I'd like to, let's read that together. Romans 2 in Numbers 11:29. It's actually message 9 from the Holy Word, the training book, if you have that. Okay, let's read Romans 2 together. In Numbers 11:29, Moses exclaimed, "Oh, all God's people will be Jehovah put his spirit upon them." So this outline is coming from this verse in the book of Numbers. Oh, that all of Jehovah's people were prophets. And this is a very strong point. This shows this is God's desire. God's intention, his desire, is that all of his people would be prophets. Of course, in the picture of the Old Testament, and what we learn from the Old Testament, the prophets spoke for God, and they spoke forth God. And God used them to speak his word to his children, to his people, both in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. So it's not only God's desire. Moses spoke this, right? Moses exclaimed, "Oh, that all of God..." So now it became Moses' desire that all of the people would be prophets, right? When some came to Moses and said, "Oh, we've got to stop them. They're prophesying over there." He said, "No. Would that all of God's people would be prophets." So he has the same desire that God has. And then Paul, especially in 1 Corinthians, probably particularly in chapter 14, you know, he said, each one can prophesy. You can all prophesy one by one, that all may be encouraged, right? That all may grow and all may be encouraged. So now Paul has the same desire, that all can prophesy. And in verse 26 of the same chapter, he says, whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, a hymn, or a teaching, or a prophecy. Each one has something for the church meeting. So this desire of God is Moses' desire, it's Paul's desire, and it must become our desire. We need to have this desire. We should have this vision for sure, that all of God's people can prophesy. And we must have this desire that we would prophesy as one of God's people, and that we would exercise to be prepared to prophesy. Maybe this week there's not time. That would be wonderful. But we should all be ready. If we're all ready, then some of us will get to, some of us won't. But that is very crucial, very crucial. And all of this is for the building up of the church, for the building up of the body. So let's read A. How about brothers read letter A under Roman 2? A prophet is not mainly one who predicts the future, but one who speaks for another, as Aaron spoke for when Moses was called, he said, "I can't do this. I'm not a good speaker." And God gave him his brother Aaron as a prophet. But don't worry, Aaron will speak for you. So that shows speaking for you is the prophet. It's part of the prophet's duty. Sisters, B. Prophets, God's spokesman. They
speak for God.
Yeah, let's do that again, a little more together and stronger. A little louder. Here we go. Amen. Very good. They speak for God and they speak forth God. They're speaking God into people. God is invisible. He is hidden. He's not known by everyone. So he needs his people to be prophets, to speak for him, to speak forth him, to tell people about him, which includes the gospel, which includes a lot of areas related to God. The speaking of the prophets, and in the speaking of the prophets, or through the speaking of the prophets, number one says, God himself and his intentions are explained. Not just God about God and himself, but his intention, his desire. Prophets receive God's revelation directly and are born by the Spirit of God to speak for God and to speak forth God. Right? Of course, the writers were born by the Spirit to write the Word of God. But even in our experience, and I think most all of us have this kind of experience, when you're spending some time with the Lord in the Word, whether in the morning or later in the day, and a word touches you and you pray over it and you open up to that sense in your spirit from the Lord, God is speaking to you. And he is giving you some impression. And he's touching you with some point, whether it's about him, whether it's about his intention or his purpose, or it's about your life. when was it? Was it yesterday? We come to this point about a thorough confession. And I just spent the entire rest of my time in that morning was just confessing. Just confessing. I couldn't get past that one phrase. A thorough confession. And I realized I haven't had a thorough confession in, I don't know, weeks maybe. And so I spent the whole time. Oh, it was so good. So good just to get everything cleared out and the Lord's blood to cover us and cleanse us. Then the Lord can, you know, touch us more and speak to us more. So we need to spend our time with the Lord so that we may get the light, right, and be shined on. Okay, letter C altogether. Moses desired that all the people of Israel would be prophets, those who spoke for God. And then the subpoints here are related to what I shared earlier. Moses had this desire, and also Paul had this desire. And especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it's very likely that Paul's concept related to all of God's people being prophets came from the book of the books of Moses, came from Moses' writing, because he studied the word, he knew the word, he was a devout Pharisee, he was very familiar with that. So you have both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God wants his people to speak for him. Now, let's look at the New Testament, first at 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 31. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31. If you have it, let's read it together. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Amen. And there's a little footnote there in 31:1. Let's read that together. God desires that each of the believers prophesy. That is, speak for him and speak forth him. Speak for him and speak forth him. Right? Speak for him and speak forth him. And the next verse says, and the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. We often wait for the inspiration to speak. We want to have some touching, you know, be inspired to speak. But this verse tells us your spirit is subject to you. You don't need to wait for some outward inspiration of the spirit in your spirit to speak. Your spirit is subject to you. So you need to say, Spirit, we're going to prophesy now. We'll stand up and here we go, you know. You need to be in control. The little footnote says 32:1. This means that the prophets are not under the control of their spirit, but their spirits are under their direction. Thus, they can determine when to prophesy and when to cease prophesying. Maybe when to cease prophesying is as important as when to prophesy. Sometimes we go a little too long, huh? To maintain good order in the church meeting, their spirits are not their master, but their means to function. They should learn how to exercise and to use their spirits at their discretion. So it's up to us. It's not up to the inspiration. And, you know, I know many times we just feel, oh, Lord, no, I don't want to share. Oh, I don't want. Oh, he just said what I was going to say, so I don't have to share anything. And I was having some fellowship yesterday with a brother. Oh, but, you know, we already covered that and everything. I said, brother, we've heard Christ as a life-giving spirit 900,000 times, and we need to hear it more. So repeating things is good. So if someone shares what you want to share, that's because it needs to be repeated, and you need to get up to share it. So don't feel like, you know, we always have to have something original. We've read the Bible how many times, but we're still going to talk about it because we need repetition. We need it over and over again. Amen. And then let's look at verse 26 in the same chapter. That is referenced here. Read that together. What then, brothers, whenever you come together, Each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Now, there's a very long note here. I'm not going to read that to you, but I want you to circle it or put a little mark there and read it on your own. It talks about what this, you know, it really, really gives a very marvelous portion on the on this verse and on how to interpret this verse. When we come to the church meeting, we should have something of the Lord. And we all do have something from the Lord. And it gives this illustration like the Feast of Tabernacles. When the children of Israel came together, they all brought their offering. They all brought a portion. And we consider this, we talk about a love feast, right? We all want to bring a dish. Some bring some, you know, a meat dish. Some bring a vegetable dish. Some bring rice or noodles or something. Anyway, we put them all together and we have a wonderful feast. And this is a picture of the church meeting. Our church meeting should be like this, right? Now, we're not talking about ministry meetings. I think we mentioned this last week. Ministry meeting is something different. When we need ministry meetings. That's why we go to the trainings or we have a ministry meeting or we have conferences and so forth. But the church meeting should be all can function, right? All can function and all should function. And that is the difference of the church meeting. Amen. Now, D, let me read that to you. A prophet typifies Christ as the one who brings us into God's light and revelation. And then the next point, Romans 3, shows us that Christ is the prophet raised up from among children of Israel, from among your brothers. Let's read Romans 3 together. A prophet will Jehovah your God raise up for you from your midst, from among your brothers. Like me, you shall listen to him. Moses is saying, God will raise up a prophet like me. You should listen to him. And that's what we enjoyed in the conference in New Jersey. Hear him, right? Jesus only. Hear him. And with him. We should walk with him. So this is a very important point because it shows that this matter of Christ being raised up as a prophet is related to his humanity. Because Moses said, like me, right? This is not just some kind of divine prophet that comes down and, you know, gives us some God's word. This is a man who is in touch with God and who is in fellowship with God. And everything he says is what the Father told him to say, right? He said, I don't do my own work. Whatever the Father speaks, that I do. So he is a very good example of what proper prophet should be. Amen. Let's read letter C under 3 together. That the prophet was to be from among brothers indicates that Christ, as the coming prophet, would be human as well as divine. Brothers 1. As God, Christ could not be from among the Jews as a brother, but as the incarnated one, the one who has put on human nature, and there was a Jew, Christ was from among his brothers. Sisters 2.
The coming Christ would be God incarnated to be the
God-man. These points in this Romans 3 are very important. Is strengthening this point that God's desire is that all of his children would prophesy. That means human beings. That means us. All of us would prophesy. And Christ would come from among his brothers to prophesy as the first prophet. That's what Deuteronomy speaks of. Right? Amen. Then D says, Deuteronomy 8:18 indicates that God would raise up this prophet through the incarnation of Christ to speak the word of God. So that's what we want to be doing. When we prophesy, we want to speak the word of God. One, to speak God's word, to prophesy, is to dispense God, to speak God forth into others. You know, whenever we come to the Lord's Day meeting, my prayer on the Lord's Day is, Lord, feed the saints. Feed the saints. It doesn't matter, I mean, I don't pray it this way, but my thought is, it doesn't matter who is speaking, but whoever is speaking should feed the saints. If you have the burden to speak something, you need to speak God's word to them and feed the saints, because we all come here to get fed. We need to get fed. We need to grow, right? So we need to come together to feed the saints. And then 2 says, this is what the Lord Jesus did as the prophet raised up by God. He spoke the word of God to feed his people. Now, I want to read Ephesians 4 with you. Let's all turn to Ephesians 4. And this portion of the outline.
What verse is it,
brother? Ephesians 4. Let's read from verse 11 through 16. 11 through 16. This is familiar, but I think this strengthens the point of our desiring to fulfill God's desire of, that we all would prophesy. From 11. Let's go. And he himself gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body. So just stop for a minute here. All of this should result in what? The building up of the body of Christ. We have been given gifts. There's some apostles. There's some teachers, shepherds and teachers. There's some prophets among us. There's evangelists, right? All of these are people given to the church, to the body, to perfect us unto the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, verse 13. Until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer little children, tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching, in the sleight of men, in craftiness, with a view to a system of error, but holding to truth in love, we may grow up into him
in all things.
Before we finish verse 16, I want to make this point here. This is so that we all would grow. That's why we need to be fed. That's why we should have the burden to feed one another, right? So that we can be perfected by growing. We would no longer be tossed about by different things as little children could be tossed about, right? But we would grow up into him, who is the head, in all things. Little things, big things, all things. We would grow up into him, right? Who is the head, Christ. Then what comes out is the next verse, which we're very familiar with. Let's read verse 16. Out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together through every point of the rich supply, and through the operation in the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. I remember the first time I heard this verse in the Lord's Recovery, I just was just blown away by this verse. That we all need, each one part causes the growth of the body. It's not Brother Lee causing the growth. Of course, he's a big help in causing the growth, right? But it's not the apostles and the prophets. It is each one part. Each one part. That means you and we're just small potatoes. I don't even know if we're small potato. We might be grains of rye. I don't know. We're small, right? We're nothing. I think I enjoyed singing that hymn. I haven't sung that hymn in a long time. We're only sinners saved by grace, right? We're just small potatoes. But we have Christ living in us, right? And we have the Word of God in our hands. And we can enjoy him and through the Word. And we can speak the Word of God to one another for nourishment. So that we can feed one another. And that little feeding causes, right? That little feeding causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. And that is the goal. That is the goal. And I think we've all heard this. It's good to repeat it to one another. You know, we all are really fed up with this world and the condition of the state of this world today, politically and, you know, socially and all kinds of ways. You know, I don't know if it's just because I'm this old, I'm fed up with it, but I think a lot of young people are fed up with it already too, you know. And the only answer is that the Lord would come back, right? It's the only answer. And every time somebody talks about this and how are we going to solve these problems, I just have to tell them, the way is to call on the name of the Lord. Amen. And be saved and enter in with us to build the body of Christ, because that will bring the Lord back. And for that, we all need to, each one part has a function. Each one part. And prophesying, according to 1 Corinthians, is the most profitable gift for the building up. Now, I don't want to say that it's the only way. We function in many ways in the church. We serve together, take care of one another. You know, we just had a trip with the English-speaking senior group yesterday. We had a wonderful time together seeing five of the new halls. And I think 2 weeks prior, the Evergreen meeting had the same kind of trip seeing the halls. And, you know, I mean, actually, there was some prophesying even in the van rides. But, you know, just serving one another, to take care of one another, and saints serving in different ways, that is really an encouragement. And that is a help to build up the body. So we can function in many ways. But our burden from this message is that we all can prophesy. Amen. And we want to learn to, I don't know how what description to make, but we want to learn to upgrade our prophesying, or to perfect our prophesying. We want to improve, right? We don't just want to just stay at this level and the same all the time. We want to improve. We want our prophesying, you know, so that we could minister Christ to people even in a shorter time would be good, so that more people could function. But there's a lot of points to this, and that's what we want to try to help when now it becomes your turn to give your prepared prophecy. But I think that, you know, from what we saw last week and what Brother Lee saw when he went back to Taiwan to reconsider the way we meet and serve, is that we need the beginning, and then we need to preach the gospel to bring people to the Lord. And we heard some very good testimonies yesterday on our trip when we got to District 8, to Hall 8. But there's been a lot of increase from the gospel, and even a lot of recovering of some who were in the recovery. Alan was right baptized in the recovery early, been in the denomination for a while, and now he's coming back. So a lot of good begetting going on, right? But then you need to nourish one another. And that has to do with prophesying. You need to feed one another. And then we need to perfect one another. And that is even to help them, even to overcome, deal with our heart. This is a perfecting. And to learn how to prophesy is a perfecting. To learn how to preach the gospel is a perfecting. Right? And then there is the building in the church meetings by each one part. And that's mainly by prophesying. So, now we want to take the next time to give you the opportunity to share with us your homework, what you have prepared. And I don't know what is the best way to do it, but I think just standing where you are probably is good. And then we can first look to Timothy and Peter. I might say something about some constructive criticism and try to help us with our prophesying. I don't know. Do we want to have a strict timer on the piano, or let's just do it, and we'll. If you're going too long, we'll say, okay, very good. We'll just let you know. We'll just let you know. Okay. Of course, the difficult thing is who will break the ice.
Of course, Brother Max.
Right? Oh, okay. Both of us have volunteered you, Max, so you can start. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, this is unfortunate this week.
dealing with the matter of the necessity for spiritual warfare and God's people formed into an army ready for battle. The first thing that I was impressed with was that this matter of the this portion of Numbers really show us that the army is already formed. It is not being formed, it is not being trained, but it has already been formed. But now we want to see the necessity for the spiritual warfare. Well, we saw this morning that in this book of Numbers, we have three different kinds of wars going on. The first one we see is outward. The second one has to do with inward. And the third one, which we are actually covering, has to do with the spiritual warfare. But we need to realize that there is the necessity for this spiritual warfare. And we see this clearly in Numbers chapter 21. You see this in these verses 1 through 3. We see that in this universe, first there was one will, and that was God's will. And secondly, we saw that there was another will, and that was the rebellion of one of the creatures. And so we have two wills. And eventually, we have man. So God has an eternal purpose, and this eternal purpose has to be accomplished. And we see that the second will came in to frustrate God's purpose. And so man, having a free will, needs to join himself to God's will so that God's purpose can be accomplished. God wants to dispense himself in Christ into man, his redeemed, chosen, and redeemed man, so that he will be filled with him, he can express him. But we see that this other will came in to frustrate. So we need to join ourselves to God's will so that we can become the meal offering to satisfy God and to satisfy man. So one other point that I was touched with is we need, in order to cooperate with God, we need to see that even with the disciples, they asked the Lord how they should pray. And in Matthew chapter 6, he prayed this prayer, which we all know as the Lord's Prayer. And in this prayer, what we saw is that we need to see that God has a need. And in our prayer, we need to pray for God's need first.
Amen.
And then we pray concerning our own need. So in this Matthew 6:10, it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so also on earth." So praise the Lord, we can cooperate with him so that his purpose can be accomplished.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, thank you for, you know, from the battle for the army, we are formed, you know, when we were saved, you know, our Christian life. So our Christian life has been a life of warfare. Same as, you know, children of Israel, they after they made their exodus from Egypt. So when we see the, in Ephesians 6:12, we can see the spiritual warfare is not a fighting against the human. That is against the, you know, flesh and blood. Whether we fight with the spiritual forces, the evil spirit. Evil spirits are working to damage the kingdom of God in order to frustrate the fulfillment of God's purpose. The way to fight the evil forces is by the Spirit, in the Spirit, and by prayers. Mm. The only way we can deal with the enemy is to pray, to appeal to the throne in the heavens as the highest authority.
Amen.
Therefore, there is the need for real and prevailing corporate prayer. We should simply go to the Lord and appeal to the highest authority.
Amen.
Through the throne, we deal with the evil forces which are behind the blood and flesh.
Amen.
And praise the Lord, this spiritual warfare is not defensive. It's defensive, not offensive. Because the Lord Jesus has already fought the battle and won the victory.
Amen.
The strong man has already been bound. So our starting point of spiritual warfare is standing upon the victory of Christ.
Amen.
It is not dealing with the Satan, but trust the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Sister Kim, why don't you stand up a little bit? Max, this is also similar to you. Yeah. Stand up. Do you have any experience of this kind of prayer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
End your prophesying with some little
testimony.
Little testimony of your experience. To say, Max, you have some experience of what you spoke, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have a chance to share with us. If you could end it, we could end our prophecy with some little experience here. Yes.
Yes, I have two kinds. One is when my son family has a very hard time. I didn't ask the Lord, save their family.
Mm-hmm.
I proclaimed to the Lord, Satan is defeated already.
Right. Amen.
So you cannot touch their family, preserve in you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the one other thing for my husband's the health condition.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask him, do this, do that. We are in the body of Christ.
Right.
So you are the head of the body, and we are the member of the body.
Right.
So you cherishing and nourishing your body.
Amen.
So I all the time find the enemy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, information. There are two kinds of prophesying. One is inspirational. The other one is more structured. And we're talking more of the structure of the prophesying.
Right.
With a burden. Emphasizing well-defined a burden, one point or 2 points, and then have supporting scriptures, and then prophesy with the ministry and your experience, and give a little testimony.
Mm-hmm.
This will be packed in 3-4 minutes. It's going to be very powerful.
Right.
Prophesying, and by the Max, for example, is if you. Really write down a few words for the beginning. So there are three wills in the universe.
Right.
Just we all know quite well what you're going to speak. But the thing is, for a lot of the saints, they may not follow our thoughts that well. Have those definitions clearly, bullet points. There are three wills in the universe: God's will, human will, and Satan's will. And so you can press down with that thought, and then what you speak will be with that much more punch, to express.
Amen.
And then you end with in your experience, in your testimony, just a short one, very good, okay, very good. Amen.
We have plenty of time.
Yeah.
Need to share.
Exactly.
Oh,
there's a lot.
Amen.
Amen. I was not told. I was not informed that we have decided. But anyhow, I really enjoyed yesterday's morning revival. And especially the portion is from chapter 4 in Matthew. Because in the half chapter from verse 1 to 11, it shows us a very good example, how our dear Lord, by the spiritual warfare.
Yeah, right.
And then the only weapon he had It's the word of God.
Amen.
Oh, so that's why we have 4:4. We have verse 4:4, and he answered concerning the man's need for man existence on this earth is by the word of God, because he made mention not always. He always answered temptation from the evil one by the word of God.
Amen.
She said, it is written, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of through the mouth of God.
Amen.
That one. And then concerning the tempter saying that he is son of God. And then the Jesus also answered again, it is written, you should not test the Lord your God. And the third one, he said, Jesus said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written, you should worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So this is give us a very good a picture. And that how we fight spiritual warfare, we have to be first constituted with all the word of God.
Amen.
That's why according to Ephesians 6:10-11, it shows that how we put on the whole armor of God. And especially the armor of God, only one item is on offensive. The other are all for defensive. The only offensive weaponry is the word of God, the sword of God. So I really thought that we must see that we have been put on the warfare, a battlefield, and we are not alone in this battlefield. We are with all the entire body. So this warfare in a very deep sense, is a body concept. And we are not fighting alone, we are fighting together. And even we are fighting for all our brothers in order that we can enter into God's goal, enter into the enjoyment of the good land, which is the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, so thank you, Lord, that we can participate and we are on the progress, being perfected, being trained, and in order that we be fully constituted with the word of God.
Amen.
And to participate with the spiritual warfare for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm very touched actually with the invisible spiritual warfare. You know, this is not the first time we heard about it, but we take it for granted. We forgot about it. Whether you like it or not, you're in this world.
Yeah.
As being saved and regenerated, we are in. So how can we do this? And I have a very, very it embedded on me this experience. This past few weeks, we have four sisters. My other sister starting texting us saying she's gonna bring my father, my mother's picture to Fujian, which is our hometown, to put it in the ancestral home. About 10 years ago, she went back. Lord, forgive me. It's for great glory. She wants to show off, you know. So she built this ancestral hall, put all the genealogy or whatever, put it there. And now 10 years after, she wants to go back and take a picture there. So the three of us, my sister from Denver and my sister from Philadelphia, we are in the recovery, and we are loving the Lord and we enjoy the Lord. So I'm not saying that we are very good, but actually we can see that we have brought it life, you know. So we have been communicating, and I said, what should we do? Should we fight with her? Or should, this is wrong, because as Christian, my mother is a Christian who loves the Lord very much, and because of her, we all got saved. And my father received the Lord on his deathbed.
So we are all Christians. Why put it in a central hall to be worshipped? You know, they put incense, they put all these offerings there. So I said, okay, I'm going to write a very strong text and let's go fighting. This is a fight, that's what I thought. So my sister said, no, let's make it very, very, how to call it, mild. Don't fight. But tell her, so I'm going to read mine. I first wrote this. As Christians, we need to be faithful to God in this matter. Ancestral worship is a serious offense against God's holiness, righteousness, authority, and principle. If we disobey the truth, it will be a huge abomination to God. Based on God's divine truth, we cannot allow mom's and dad's picture in the ancestral hall. If you decide to do it, it's between you and God. As faithful Christians, we need to share this with you. So I sent this out. I said, okay, you too. The bomb is going to explode now. You guys are going to have to support me. And then my sister sent another text about the invisible spiritual warfare. And then she said something. That's a long email text, so I don't have to read it. And then she said, you have to be careful. You're not in the wrong side, which is Satan's side. And then my other sister said something too. And then after a few weeks, she sent back a text. Okay, I'm not bringing the pictures there anymore. Oh, I said, we, the Lord is victorious, but we have to fight our warfare. We have to be one with the Lord.
Yeah.
And this way, we share the life in us to her very nicely, not fighting, and we won the victory. Satan is defeated. There's no more pictures in the ancestral hall. And I know, we know that this is the way that we have to fight. If we know something, don't be passive. If we know something is going to go wrong or somebody is going in the wrong directions, we got to speak up.
Amen.
Speak forth God.
Amen.
You know? Amen.
So the victory has been won. So we are here to maintain the victory.
Yes, stand in the victory.
Can I ask you a follow-up question? In the book of Numbers, when Balak inviting hiring Balaam to curse the Israelites, this portion, Moses was not there. How did he know and write it down in the book of Numbers? And this was actually all prophesying on spiritual warfare. How did he know all of those four parables and all the arrangements? How Balaam was sailing with Jehovah, or the donkey story? We all feel pretty good about it, right? How did Moses know?
Somebody spoke it to him.
Who? Did he satisfy?
Different question.
Or did he have a... He planted a bug in Balaam's donkey, so their conversation were all recorded and transmitted. The brothers and sisters, when we really, sorry brothers, when we read the scriptures of the Bible, sometimes ponder the question of it. It's not for disputing, but trying to understand. Because we're all talking about spiritual warfare. Who is fighting the spiritual warfare? See, this is another part of it. We talk a lot about the body fighting the spiritual warfare. But from your experience, you know, a lot of times, but all the spiritual warfare are fought in secret.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay? So one time here, a few turns back, I was talking about the secrecy in the kingdom prayers. Actually, a lot of fighting prayers, kingdom prayers, and spiritual warfare prayers, you cannot pray in public.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. You cannot disclose it. It's almost like a military operation. Mm-hmm. It's almost like an information warfare. Mm-hmm. For example, this time when they killed the ISIS leader, was a body matter in human terms? Yes, because there are so many different sources have to pull together. But is it in public? No. So okay, because when we a lot of times of really serious prayers, it's very difficult to bring into the general even church prayer meetings. That's why you need some smaller number of saints. Really, the prayer confidants, okay? To pray, you know that prayer, no matter how you pray, will be kept in yourself or in that smaller number of prayers. Okay? So, I'm not prophesying, I'm just because of this, you're all touched by this. Okay? And for example, Daniel's prayer, the age of turning prayer, the real crucial prayer is that one night in the lion's den. I don't think that the three-time prayer daily can do the cuts. It's a plural singular, can do the cut, right? Can do the cuts. So the Lord needs some really, really feisty, not even worrying about his position, his life, or just he needs, because the spiritual warfare is raging in the heavens. Okay? The prince of Persia is blocking our Lord to carry out his economy. So he needs somebody not kneeling down morning, noon, evening. That just that's almost like using a rifle attacking a tank. Remember, in the normal Christian life, Brother Nee used one example, right?
He went in the weight room, raised his head.
Right. And so the Chinese military fighting the Japanese, they are hiding in a tank. How are you going to shoot a person in a tank? So they use a strategy. So they use two snipers. One just shoot at the tank. Bang! So the tank driver or somebody would think it's, knock on something. And in a few minutes, shoot it again. So a few times later, there's nothing happens. So the person in the tank will come out and take a look. What's happening? And the second snapper just shoot it. So that's what the Lord said. The enemy a lot of times does that too. Actually, our prayers, we needed to really fight a lot of times in secret. Daniel is a good example. If you think, actually, a lot of times, the whole Bible, the book of the Pentateuch was not, did not record many times Moses prayed. It's just like our Lord. He prayed so much. He go to the mountain, he go to the wilderness, he was there. There's not much recording. What did he pray? Don't you want to know? Yes, we want to know. A few years back, I asked a group of young ones to take out all the prayers in the whole Bible. It's almost 30 pages long. It says all the prayers. And then we just go through the prayers. We spend about 2 weeks going through the prayers and learn how the Lord in the Bible used the servants to pray. Actually, we learned a lot of lessons. I wish we got a chance in the future. We can go through that. Okay, because many of you learn a lot of principles. One principle is secrecy. There are a lot of spiritual warfare. So you don't want to disclose it. Does he know? God knows. Doesn't the enemy know? Yes. So, give you an example. Nathaniel. In John 1, Nathaniel. Nathaniel has a secret of prayer place. It's under the fig tree. A lot of times we don't understand what the Lord and Nathaniel
was talking a lot. It's almost like they're talking in code language, right? So when Philip brought Nathaniel to the Lord, before Nathaniel said anything, the Lord said, "Behold, this is the true Israelite. In him there's no guile." I mean, Nathaniel was just, there's nothing good out of Nazareth. Nothing good. When the Lord said that, Nathaniel said, "How do you know me?" The Lord said, "Oh, you went before Philip called you. When you were under that fig tree, I saw you."
Right.
Nathaniel immediately turns and says, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." How come such a flip? Because he was praying for the coming of the Son of God,
Amen.
The King of Israel. So he was, that's his private, personal, secret prayer place. And the Lord said, "I saw you." He made sure within miles there's nobody can see him. Who can see him? God himself. Because he was praying to God. So that's why he said, "You're the Son of God. Otherwise, how can you see me? You must have saw me, and you heard me." So, if we go through the whole Bible, there's so many places. Do you think Moses was praying in the tent of meeting while Balak was? Do you? It's almost like the Lord televising everything happening into Moses. Paul, there are very, very few recorded prayers of Paul. Because in Ephesians 1, we are sort of asking for, praying for a revelation, and 3, chapter 3, and praying for the experience. That's how we say it. But Paul is a praying person. But the Bible did not record much how he prayed. Yet, when he tell the Colossians, he said, "I'm so joyful to see in your meeting you're so orderly." You see the footnote there, said, Paul's spirit is so strong. Yeah. He even, in his spirit, he even can meet with the Colossians and see their meetings. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I said, "In my prayer, I bind that evil person and gave his flesh for destruction to Satan." And there's some of those words, right? So, since really, I want to remind each one of us, even though this is not a prayer lesson, if we see that, the last portion before God's children take a full possession of Christ, the Gilead, the spiritual warfare will become very high tech.
Right.
Satan is improving himself. Satan's craftiness is improving with the world. So if we still use rifles, try to fight satellites, we are lost from the mentality. Okay, because our prayer, our secret prayer, our kingdom prayer, our prayer life is not how much frequently you pray anymore. That's a given. For example, I'll give you a testimony. One time, the same thing. A family, both husband and wife, they worried about their parents because their parents is, they are setting up a sanctuary altar in northeast of China. They are in prison. And they are newly saved. They came to me, came to our house, said, "What should we do? Our parents, they don't know what to do. They are doing that." I said, "Why don't we have a dinner together?" So we invited their parents and them together. come and say, do you really want those things set up? He said, no. I said, if you really don't want it set up, why don't we have some prayers? I said, how do you pray? Okay, I said, I will pray, you follow me. I said, Lord, that thing should not be put up. Let them not be able to set it up.
Amen.
Can you pray like that? I said, yeah. Just be truthful. Tell the Lord your heart.
Right.
So this is the, let's not use the hooks, crooks. You just aim and shoot. That night, they were saved, they were baptized. And then next morning, they called me and said, this is so miraculous. They set it up the night before. And in the morning, a wind blow. Everything collapsed. I'll give you another example. This is, you know, hometown. This brother, he was so worried because we were serving together years ago. And his parents are not saved yet, their family. They want to burn incense. And he went home. He's in a holiday. Before he, you know, he just, the email, there's not the convenience of cell phone yet. Send him an email, brother Peter, what should we do? Let's just pray. The match cannot lead up the incense. They can burn, but when time comes to you, let all the fire go out. So later he came back. He said, this is just so incredible. So incredible. Just all of a sudden, before he lighted the incense, it rained. Just a shower come by. Just extinguished everything. And his parents, oh, let's go home. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is a small thing. Our Lord is, everything is possible.
Amen.
This is a small potato, the small things.
Amen.
Okay? And whatever that you call that, huh? Sutan. Why don't you call and say, Lord, next time when the storm comes, why don't you send out a hurricane? Next time, don't blow anything away. Just blow this thing away. Our prayers are too complicated. Yeah, our prayers are becoming too complicated. Yeah, just really aim. Okay, the Chinese acupuncture, I use one of them. Just aim at that spot. Just one time, and we'll do it. Just do it. Yeah. Since it's just because for three of you, probably all talking about this, we need that kind of prayers. Because this message, the spiritual warfare, we need to know the enemy's strategy and the tactics. His goal is very clear. Okay? Don't ask his GSTs. Okay? His goal is very clear. And his strategy and his tactics. Okay? We need to use, understand his strategy and to intercept it. And his tactics to counter attack. These days, actually, we know from Ephesians, we always say, be defensive, not offensive. As a matter of fact, that's not the whole Bible's revelation. Yeah. That's Ephesians' revelation. The whole Bible, by the end, the bridal armies has to attack. The main child has to fight. Brothers and sisters, it's different situations. In the book of Numbers, did the leading ones in Israel, did they fight? No. Did they defend? No. That's why when God told Moses, hand them up. because they were not a watchful. They were not a watchful for the Israelites. Hand them up. We needed to be balanced, since what's kingdom prayer? Kingdom prayer is attacking prayers. If you read the prayer ministry of the church, kingdom prayers should terrify Satan. Should scare him. And should let him, cause him to suffer greatest loss. Okay. Since our prayer is not like the sword, we're going to run out to look for him. That's not. But we needed to be standing there and counterattack. Lord, we don't agree with this. Change the situation. Isn't that attacking? Yeah, that is attacking. I'm sure Moses was praying while the warfare is going on. Okay? And Balaam is plotting that. I'm sure Moses is praying in a tent of meetings.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, really, this weekend, we really need to expose the enemy to see what's he doing. Otherwise, the whole Israelites has no idea Balak is hiring Balaam. Going to have a heavenly spiritual warfare to annihilate them. They were still, ready to. We're going to take possession of the good land. Lo and behold, something's happening. Balak and Balaam is trying to totally destroy them. So be watchful. Be watchful. And don't pray long prayers. With the kingdom prayers, you don't need long prayers. You just need one-liners.
Amen.
And to shoot a tank, if you go to Golan Heights, you will see those tanks. Those Syrian tanks with just one hole. One hole. Just shoot in, explode. We really need to. Today, we really need to aim and fire. Aim and fire. So, one last thing, right? In the World War II, the U.S. soldiers, on average, cost about 15,000 bullets to kill an enemy. The snipers, on average, was 1.3 bullets to kill an enemy. But during the training, you train a sniper, on average, it probably cost you so many tens of thousands of bullets in peacetime. But it will be used in the wartime. So now our regular prayers, a lot of times, is in training, in practice. But in real war, breaks out. You don't waste your bullets. Just aim and shoot and kill. So that's what the kingdom prayers really aim for.
Amen.
Increase the accuracy. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So next week,
powerful.
We have the same assignment for next week, but we will be on week 21. Next week will be a repeat of this outline that we're covering in this thing. Yeah.
Amen.
We'll be on 21 on the prophesying. And so, and we'll finish this outline hopefully next week and then prophesy from that one. And then we go on to a new holy word. We'll probably have an announcement this week on material offering for the Lord's move. So we'll cover that for 5 weeks after this holy word. Okay? So, amen. Let's have a few prayers.
Amen.
And then we'll
close.